In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the problem congregation in Corinth, both letters have these words which are meant for us too. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You heard the word of the Lord before. It's a short text. Let me read it again, the second reading. 2 Corinthians 13:11-14. Finally, brothers, rejoice, set things in order, be encouraged, agree with one another, be at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The word of the Lord. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dearly created, dearly redeemed, dearly sanctified. Challenge. How do you describe the culture in which we live in one word? You might go with materialistic, greedy, selfish, corrupt. And who knows how many other single words you could come up with. You know, I think really opinions would vary. But if you really want to know about what the culture of the country is like, maybe you have to go to those who think they can define it, which would pretty much be our music and our movies. How would Hollywood define our culture? Scowls. Yeah, I think Hollywood lost its vocabulary. Have you noticed they can't get let past one word, one letter of the alphabet lately? There's one letter of the alphabet where pretty much all the actors, and of course the actresses have to be just as foul-mouthed as the rest, as the guys, so everybody's stuck on one of the first letters of the alphabet. I don't need to say more. Sad. There's so many words in the English language they could be using. But you've maybe heard the excuse. Well, we can't write about anything anymore because everybody's so offended. Well, whose fault is that? And really, kind of a cop-out, isn't it? But if you had to say in one word, seems to me at least, that one word would be cursing. We've kind of become the cursing culture. Nothing new, I guess all the other words would go back to the fall into sin, Adam and Eve, their first children, but it just seems like the more we can get our hands on media and communication, the more the sinful heart seems to just come out with that stuff. And you and I, we fall into the trap. If you ever cleaned out a dairy barn, you kind of know what it's like to be in our culture, because sometimes it gets the best of you, doesn't it? Something slips out. Maybe it's your friends too, and maybe it's that substitute swearing. We like to put other words in there where everybody knows what you mean, but you didn't really say it. And who, if you even have great self-control over what you say, who doesn't have to admit that sometimes in the heart and in the mind, and the Holy Spirit sees all that and hears all that. I think if we stick with the barnyard analogy, we just kind of have to admit we don't smell any better than the rest. On us too, our sin stinks. Which is why it is so refreshing when you come to the words of the Lord and you find his blessing. In every culture across time, including ours, he comes with this blessing now from the apostles. The one that we'll hear also at the end of the service goes back even farther, the Aaronic blessing. He puts his name on his people. He makes you his own. He shows you love that we all have to just admit, I sure don't deserve kindness and mercy from God, but there it is. And it's especially surprising when you come to this refreshment in the summertime from the triune God. I mean, driving through the countryside in the Midwest, for sure, especially if you have to have the windows open. You know, there are certain places, well, let's just say if we were in a farming community, we probably would have a little harder time worshiping outside, except that everybody's used to it. And then it kind of depends on which way the wind is blowing, right? But the refreshment from God is like a fragrant flower garden that no barnyard can beat. And you especially see it in Paul's letters to the Corinthians. As I said before, they both start with those same words, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now you get all the way to the end of the letters, and he's still calling them brothers. That's pretty awesome. But don't miss the word that goes before the word brothers in our English translation. Paul doesn't always mean it when he says finally. When we study Philippians, we'll hear finally about the middle of the letter, and then he'll go on a little ways. Some pastors do that too, you know, finally. But when Paul says it here, you got to just take it as, all right, there's no hidden agenda here. He's saying what he's saying. Back home, 7th and 8th grade on the coast out west, I couldn't stand it how 7th and 8th graders can be down bad-mouthing somebody who walks up and then everybody's so friendly. I liked it much better with the Dakota farmers and ranchers who just told you what they thought. And if you didn't like it, that was pretty much your problem. But that didn't end the friendship. They were just being honest. Isn't that much better? And Paul is like that, finally. And he's speaking the truth in love. So when he says, brothers, I believe that kind of levels the playing field. You may have talk from families where sisters are involved and they like to say that the brothers get everything. They don't seem to have an even inheritance sometimes, whatever. But I do believe the Holy Spirit in saying brothers to all of us is saying you are all equally loved. Men and women, brothers and sisters, you're all mine. This applies to all. But men, you have primary responsibility under God. That's what it means in Scripture. So brothers, we have to listen up and listen when he says rejoice. We'll be studying the captivity letters starting this Wednesday in our adult teen Bible class, 6:30 to 7:30, and in person and by Zoom. But one of the things you find about the Apostle Paul, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, he's always rejoicing. This isn't about happiness and happenings. It's about joy in the Lord, where there can be joy through the tears. If you've lost loved ones, you know just what that means. You look forward to seeing one another again in heaven. But he says, rejoice. This is all God's grace. It comes to us through his holy apostle who's working with problems and problem congregations. First and Second Corinthians are the longest letters. I've often said that if you could go to a store and buy any kind of congregational problem, Pastor, who would do that? Well, you'd be surprised. If you could find a store that had every kind of congregational problem, it would not say on the labels, made in China or made in America. All the labels would read, made in Corinth, because they had it all. And still there's grace. He speaks to them so straightforward and truthfully, speaking the truth in love. He calls sin what it is, but keeps calling them back to the Lord. So he says, set things in order. NIV kind of fumbled on this one. They said, aim for perfection. This Greek word is actually one that's used that the fishermen would understand. And you know, there were fishermen among the apostles, Jesus' disciples. They're still casting nets like this on the Sea of Galilee. And when they're done casting their nets for the morning, they bring them in and they have to then repair the nets. So the word is for mending the nets, setting everything in order again. But are you mending or preparing? Well, kind of both, because you're going out again. So where Jesus gave that great catch of fishes and the boats were sinking, this word is there when they come in, barely get in time with the huge catch of fish in the two boats, and they have to mend the nets before going out again. So it doesn't always mean mending the nets, but if you see putting things in order, yeah. Sainted Pastor Lauersdorf has still got a few Bible studies in Forward in Christ, but he defined this Greek word as everyone fitting into his position and performing his proper function. Good example for congregations. Know where you are, what your gifts are, use them to the glory of God, and be encouraged, he says. Where a congregation is following this, putting things in order, living in grace, it's encouraging to all, agree with one another, be at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Triple blessings from the Lord. We've got grace, his undeserved love, and we've got love. Since I mentioned Hollywood before, do we need to define love? In our society, this might sound kind of strange. You know, me too. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. Not going to be a problem. Most Northern Europeans are not that affectionate. I don't know if you come from a hugging family. I do. I do remember my grandma, and I'm not asking for this, but this is what my grandma did. Every Sunday, give the pastor a hug and sometimes a kiss. Just Nanny's way. She was so generous, people that would visit their house, they would say, yeah, I admired something that your grandma had, and she made sure I left with it. Did she know how expensive it was? Yeah. Didn't matter. When our girls went to teach vacation Bible school in Ukraine, they were told, be careful about admiring things from your friends because they're so generous, they're going to want to give it to you. And they don't have much. It was hard then too. Cultures are different. And I think our Northern European bent, as most of us are, doesn't really understand this as well as most cultures do. Most cultures could greet one another with a holy kiss. In fact, it's true throughout the Mideast, and it's in four of Paul's letters, both Corinthians and Romans, and then one of the other ones too. But you can't force one culture into another. So years ago, one of our older members talked about an older sister who attended a congregation where the pastor told everybody at the end of the service every week to give one another the holy kiss. They had to literally, and she said it was a bit unnerving because there was an older man on the far side of the sanctuary who always came over by her, and it just didn't seem like a holy kiss to her. You can't force one into the other. But is it possible, dear Christians, that the good Lord is teaching us some things about ourselves and about the weaknesses in our culture by bringing the nations of the world to us, to our neighborhoods? As I always say, you can figure out the politics and the legality as you want, but look at it as Christians. And every soul redeemed by the blood of Christ, this triune God whose very essence is love. Why are so many people here from other cultures? It is for us to share Christ with them for sure. Because the Bible tells us we all go back to one set of parents, Adam and Eve. They mapped the genome, spent millions, billions of dollars to prove this scientifically. Yeah, we all go back to one man and one woman. And all the Bible believers said, oh, we already knew this. But it's so true. We have the same blood in our veins and are all redeemed by the same blood of Christ, right? That's love. The love of God. But the cultures? I think I learned more about this from my Chinese brothers and sisters. Pastor Steele told a story about doing something in a group of Chinese in fellowship where the dear sisters came and said, you know, in our culture, you can't do that because that really looks bad. It was just one of those things. We make mistakes. But if you learn to laugh at yourself, in China, we found out that our hosts, when they realized finally that we were making American jokes and laughing at ourselves, they started to tell Chinese jokes. And it was hilarious. That's a bond there, a bond of love, isn't it? When I would sometimes apologize for some dumb thing I said or did, I know Ting Wong would often say, "Pastor Cordes, we know your heart." Isn't that a blessing of love? We know your heart. It's okay. We traveled in China. There were young women that were given us to be our guides, and about the age of my daughters, similar personalities to the three as well. And one of the things I so appreciated about and loved about all of my sisters in Christ is they kept asking me about my wife and daughters. That's Christian love. It works. Long distance phone call, really expensive in those early days, and my wife in tears. She went to Mount Olive Chinese Church when there was a presentation there. And she's talking to me as we're missing each other in this first trip away. And she says, "Those Chinese women are so loving. They wrapped their arms around me. And they said, 'Your husband's away. We're here for you.' And it helped me too." See? There is something that takes us outside this cursing culture. Into, if you can understand this rightly, a kissing culture. Of pure affection that leaves Hollywood behind and all the rest of this foolishness that we find among us. Paul had to tell that to Titus, who went to the island of Crete, and love was messed up there too. He told Titus in chapter 1, verse 12, "Cretans are always liars, vicious beasts, and lazy gut gluttons. This testimony is true." The way they were. Titus was supposed to put a Christian congregation there or build one up and organize it. But then he says also, Paul writing to Titus in verse 15, "All things are pure to those who are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are defiled and do not believe. Rather, both their minds and consciences are defiled." God gives you a new heart when the dear Holy Spirit brings you into fellowship with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus, and creates that miracle of faith by his word and sacrament, and then keeps you in the faith, you do think differently, you feel differently, and there's a purity there that's really sweet. It's God's kind of love, his agape love, that can say all the saints greet you. Now this is part of that horizontal fellowship. The faith that you have in Jesus as your Savior puts you in fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the Bible talks about the horizontal fellowship of believers with believers too. And sometimes this can really catch you by surprise. This third blessing, as we refresh on God's triple blessing, is fellowship. One dark, lonely night, reading in the Psalms, as I often do, came to Psalm 57, verse 3, and these words jumped out at me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. Now think about that. You greet family and say, yeah, mom and dad send their love, or however you would say that, but God sends his love. And it's believers of ancient times saying God sends his love to you, and that's not all. His faithfulness that always keeps all his promises and gives us everything we need. That's a kind of fellowship that God creates through his word and sacrament and maintains so that he can say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How could God better prove his grace, his undeserved love, than sending his only begotten Son to live a perfect life in your place, to shed the only innocent blood that could wash away all sin, your sins and mine, Not a sin remains. No guilt remains. It's all washed away. You're cleansed. Trust in Jesus, and you have that blessing. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Only unbelief cuts somebody off from this blessing. But the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is yours in that apostolic blessing. And the love of God. Agape love, yeah. The unconditional, self-sacrificing love of God who is love. And we love because he first loved us. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's the common union of the Holy Spirit, where he gives us the mind of Christ, and then we can be encouraging to each other. We can agree with one another, even though many, many Christians in America today say this is not possible. Well, what about this? In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, where it says, be perfectly united in mind and thought. Oh, that's not possible. Yeah, but it says that to the Corinthians. And if you translate a little more freely and practically, it means be perfectly united in discussion and decision. So while you discuss, be united. And after the decision, be united. Well, that's even worse. No, it happens. Back when the Red Hymnal was new in 1993, it was my privilege to give a report, I think, to the conference about the acceptance of that hymnal among our congregations. It was amazing how many people, dearly loving the old 1941 Synodical Conference hymnal, could discuss the fact that we needed a new one then. And then within a couple years, I was able to report that over 94% of our congregations were using it. This happens. It's God's grace. And it's a good thing to remind ourselves, especially when we're into situations where emotions can run high. Yeah, we need to listen to each other. That's what fellowship does. We listen. God unites us so we can be honest in our discussions. And then he gives us decisions that we can live with, even if sometimes it's not always exactly the way I would have liked it to have been. It's okay. Christ is the Lord of his church. He gives us this refreshing triple blessing from God. Don't know who said it. It was an old man years ago who said, if the only thing I ever got out of a worship service was the blessing at the end, it would be worth going. So true. When the blessing comes from God, it really is a fragrant flower garden of blessing from God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's people say, Amen.